this flight. Ooh, witchy woman, see how high she flies. Ooh, witchy woman. I'm the greatest producer ever.
I'd say so. Excellent taste in music, actually.
Uh-huh.
Who requested that song?
You, but I produced it.
Indeed. Indeed, I
just
did request
kidding.
That.
Please don't sue me, Eagles.
They'll come back and fuck you
for
up.
For real.
Uh-huh. You never know. How's it going, my friends? All right. Can we just say thank you to our followers? So this is only our third episode, right? We really haven't released that much information. But we were checking it out. We have a little group going on
right clan.
Now. Hell yeah, we do. We have a little familia.
Oh yeah.
So we're so happy to have some friends here with us from the very start, and we're excited to take this journey all together. Let's do it.
What's our topic for today?
The Bell Witch.
Ooh.
Dun dun dun.
Oh, that's why you wanted the witchy song.
That is why. Good eye.
Now, I'm surprised because I'm quite the paranormal enthusiast. However, this is a pretty big one that I've seemed to just miss completely.
Yeah.
I've heard of it and I knew like a little bit about it, but we listened to another podcast the other day that really dove deep into this one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fucking wild.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like I was slacking as a paranormal geek that I somehow just missed this gargantuan case.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, it's a super cool one. I had heard of it before a couple times. Yeah, we listened to this podcast. Shall I share the name?
You can share the name.
My lovely girls from Morbid.
Shout out.
They're so much fun.
Out.
Oh, you're right. They're awesome. And yeah, they did a podcast on this super crazy story. It's a location out in Adams, Tennessee. And there's actually a cave where you can go and visit.
And like the Bell Witch Cave, the official home of the Bell Witch. I'm online right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Check it out.
Wow.
It's super, super crazy. And according to reports, this cave is like a portal where a bunch of different spirits pass through, and the people who were living on the property. When was that family
187,
there?
The family. Okay, let's see here.
I know. I'm like, what?
The story of the it's the Bell family.
Mm-hmm.
They're like a really rich family in, you know, early-ish colonial America.
Yep.
I guess not colonial at this point. We're in Tennessee, huh?
It was John Bell, right?
John Bell. Yeah, John Bell, Lucy Bell, and their children moved from North Carolina to Robertson County, Tennessee. The land was 320 acres of farmland. The Red River, cool name, flowed through the land, and they lived a peaceful life for 13 years. However, mm-hmm. in the summer of 1817, their lives would change.
Dun, dun, dun.
Wow.
And apparently, at least based off my lovely Morbid woman, John Bell and their daughter, Betsy Bell, were the two prime suspects, or not suspects.
Victims.
There we go. Criminology.
Wow.
The two main victims.
Oh, you can tube through the cave. You can go inner tubing through the Bell Cave.
That just doesn't seem like it matches up very well.
No, the Bell Witch is going to pop your fucking boat.
It's some terrifying place and you turn it into an amusement park. Well, that just doesn't add up. But, no, super spooky place. And all these crazy things would happen. Like, Betsy would be physically assaulted, wake up with smack, like, fucking welts on her face from being smacked around.
They'd hear disembodied voices, like all the time. Apparently, this ghost would like announce itself to the people.
Oh yeah, like she would actually talk.
Which is interesting because usually when you hear a ghost story, it's like, oh, it attacks someone when they're alone, or they heard something when they're alone. But apparently, this fucker was just announcing shit and talking to crowds. He liked to be.
Well, and then word spread throughout the townsfolk at church and what have you, and all these little churchgoers would go over to the Bell House, like just walk right in their front fucking door and try and peep a little show of the Bell Witch. And she would just entertain them, talk to them, scare the fuck out of them. Who was it? Was it Andrew Jackson?
Is that who it was? Andrew Jackson was the president, yeah.
Yeah, and he actually was interested, took out a bunch of people. They went out there to try and investigate. And on the way there, their wagon carriage just like wouldn't roll. Like the wheels weren't stuck on anything.
Yeah, the horses wouldn't move.
Yeah, no, the horses, the wagon, everything just like froze. And no matter what they would do to try and get it to budge, it just wouldn't.
Yeah, it's like the only paranormal case that was investigated by the federal government.
Yeah.
And I think Andrew Jackson,
super cool.
What a guy he was. Was straight up like, yeah, I don't know. Guy. We're going to not like. Wait, let me read it.
What are you reading?
Yeah, Andrew Jackson and his attorney went there. And yeah, no, like the president of the United States, or not United at the time, maybe, declared that, yeah, there's a witch there. Stay away, folks. If our president said that now.
Our president is
here. Wild. Yeah, our president is fucking...
He's gone.
On the moon.
But this is a fucking
robot. If any president said it now, that'd be wild. Like, if it was national news, hey, this area is haunted. What's crazy is the reason this one fascinated me so much, it has a lot of resemblances to Skinwalker Ranch. Mm. For me, it's very interesting that, like, ghosts anyway are interesting. Like, haunted places, abandoned places, whatever. But when you have these giant plots of land that seem to just be like riddled with paranormal activity of all sorts.
Right.
Like Skinwalker Ranch was UFOs, poltergeist.
Just weird. Skinwalker Ranch is a fucking
cryptozoology, you know, weird animals, like everything paranormal. Mm-hmm. And it seems like it was pretty similar with this one.
The weird amputations for Skinwalker Ranch is what really gets me. How it looks like surgically pristine
with the cattle mutilation
cuts. yeah
that one's weird,
crazy. But yeah, no, this story, because yeah, later on people would go into this cave, which was found off the property, and allegedly it was an ancient burial ground. Right,
it's always a fucking ancient Indian burial ground.
That's always what it fucking is.
Fuck's sake.
But
no, apparently this cave was like a ritualistic location for whatever tribe was mm-hmm. there, and they performed they apparently like treated it like a doorway into the other realm where they would allow like to communicate with their ancestors. But then the theory is like, oh, if you're doing that and you're tapping into that type of thing, that, you know, good, your ancestors and some other bad things might come through.
Well,
and
yeah, that's just it. That tribe left the land. They weren't kicked out. They weren't killed.
That was an interesting point. Yeah.
They just fucking
elected
left.
To leave, which is not something you see often. They were.
They said, all right, this is getting a little too real for
that's
us.
The only time that bounce. Native Americans willfully left a place was during this, which is says something, I think.
Crazy. So, and then, yeah. I would say, I think it was in the 90s or something like that, you know, a couple years back, investigators would go to this cave, you know, once technology has improved a little bit, and they would take footage and they would see all these orbs, and this one shot, it was a video, and you could actually see like some kind of door appear and then people coming through it, and then the door would close and just vanish. That one, I kind of have a hard time imagining, because anything in the...
Trying to find it.
Yeah, check it out. Because anything in the spirit world, from what I've seen, it very rarely is so black and white clear like that. Like, it's all based off of what the human mind can actually absorb and perceive. You know, in the spirit realm, is it an actual fucking door? Like a doorknob and
all
that.
Yeah, that shit gets,
you know, or is that more just of what a human can
observe? Or is it what the spirits on the other side, they're putting something in a photograph that we on this realm can comprehend? That could be it too.
Yeah.
I still can't find this fucking picture.
Yeah. No, I wonder where we'd be able
to find
that.
To the third page of Google.
The third.
Deep waters.
Yeah. He's invested. But yeah, it's a super crazy story. And I'm really surprised you'd never heard of it before.
Me too. I feel like I fucked up.
It was like the most classic.
That's like I heard it, but I'm like, oh, whatever. So I thought it like I just never for some reason. I mean, I started out as a UFO guy. I was mainly a UFO guy.
Yeah. Oh, boy, were you. I was always a spooky lady.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the sign for this fucking place looks like a roadside stand. Like, it looks like you could buy jerky and fucking orange juice there.
Oh, you know, I actually...
It's all happy and shit.
Yeah, it doesn't fit. I actually did hear this one story. Fuck, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, I can't remember what it was from. But it was a woman who went into the cave with her friends. You know, they're out in Tennessee doing whatever. She didn't know what this cave was all about. She was super sensitive to changes in energy. She considered herself clairvoyant. And she, and for those of you who don't know what clairvoyant is, it just means that you can sense spirits, energy. You can see them very clearly. And she goes in there and she like has a full ass panic attack. Like she's shaking, like practically having a seizure in there, passes out. And her friends have to carry her out with like the guide or whatever. And she's sitting there and eventually she comes back and she's like, why the fuck would you let me in there? Like it's crazy.
Didn't someone take a rock too? Someone took like a rock.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
By the way, people,
don't do it.
Take shit. I hold on. I believe there's a way to remove something for scientific purposes.
Right.
And I also believe there's a way to remove something with the proper intention.
It all comes down to respect.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think that a lot of people, they'll go into places like this with... Oh, I seriously doubt anything's going to happen. Oh, it's all just hoity-toity, woo-woo bullshit, you know?
If you're going to take something, yeah, to fucking prove that nothing bad will happen, like, if you're going to take it in a disrespectful manner,
yeah,
that never ends well.
Yeah.
Like, the people that knock on the fucking Annabelle doll and then getting smashed by a semi the second they leave the property, like, okay.
Yeah. No, be smart. We had this lady... she was in a tour of the cave, right? And she takes some rock and the tour guide tells her, she's like, you know, I really wouldn't do that if I were you. I've never done it, but I know of people who have done it and it never ends well. Like, just don't do it. And the lady, sure shit, she was like, okay, whatever. It's bull crap.
Yeah.
And she leaves. And she comes back a couple hours later, all bloody, because she got into some massive car accident and then came back and just dropped the rock off. And she was like, I should have listened to you. Sorry.
What's hard, too, is didn't they, because there was theories, right? The parent back in the early 1820s or whenever, you know, voices in the room, scratches, your classic haunting things. But they didn't find the cave forever.
No, they didn't find the cave for a long time. They said that they would hear like gnawing on the bedpost, like an animal like gnawing on something, and they would hear chains like dragging across the floor. But yeah, the caves, they didn't actually find until later, for sure.
And the entity really hated John Bell. She called him Old Jack.
Old Jack.
And ultimately, I think this is one of the only cases of a entity murdering somebody, allegedly.
Yeah.
Apparently he got like super sick with whatever, pneumonia or syphilis, whatever the fuck kills you at that time. And they came in and there was this like jar of black rancid smelling fluid. And the witch like came over the spiritual intercom and was like, yeah, I gave it to him last night. And then they smelled his breath. And apparently that same smell that was in the poison, and they still like didn't know what the shit was.
Well, because they had been giving him medicine daily, you know, and he was in his bed all sick. So his son goes in there in the morning or night or whenever to give him his medicine. And yet all the medicine was gone and it was just a little vial of this like purple blackish liquid. And then he died and they smashed the vial onto the floor.
Oh, yeah.
And there was
poofed.
Yeah, it poofed. It was like a poofy cloud of two different reports. Some say it was purple, some say it was blue. Either way, a fucking violet
How
cloud.
How perfect is that? Let's fucking throw this potion on the ground and it erupts into a blue poof.
Right. What are cloud. The odds of that?
There's things like, obviously, grain of salt with all this stuff. Yeah. However, what's interesting, regardless of like...
It's good to be skeptical, but it's also good to be aware and respectful of
what's
things like
weird
this.
Is, you know, all these firsthand accounts I take with a grain of salt. The weird shit is the tribe moving on their own. Mm-hmm. That's weird. The U.S. government getting involved. That's super fucking weird. And then the discovery of this cave that... then became like was blamed to be the source of all the paranormal happenings on the property, which, right, they thought it was one lady that was like haunting the property. And then after they discovered the cave, they're like, oh no, it's like
multiple
100
entities.
Spirits. Like, yeah. They're just coming in and out of here. And then, you know, I get skeptical anytime someone tries to profit off of anything. Mm-hmm. But.
Well, and they also had a bunch of money. So, like, people would come.
That's
you know,
true. This
like,
was a rich-ass family rich. Who then went, I think, broke during the haunting.
Yeah. Like, people would just come and come and come and see. If they were in it for money, they would have been charging fucking people. Come check out our spooky house, you know? But they didn't. It wasn't about the money. They wanted help, you know? But, yeah, everyone who showed up became a believer. There was that one witch hunter guy. You know, because everything that went wrong in the past was because of witchcraft. We all know it. Right. Blame the witches. And, God, fucking ridiculous. So uneducated. But there was a witch hunter who shows
what a cool
up.
Thing.
Fucking A.
What a cool title.
Yeah, I guess so. Shows up with a rifle with silver bullets, because only a silver bullet will work on a witch. And he ended up leaving there like screaming, like,
wow.
His horse was all pissed off and was going crazy, like he was holding on for dear life. Like, yeah,
the Bell family. I'm gonna do some more research on these people.
Yeah, no, it's crazy,
the Bell family, because there's a John Bell who was a Tennessee politician.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same one at all. Farmer. Yeah, they were farmers. And what's crazy, it's listed as folklore, which, okay, of course. But hold on. Wait.
Because realistically, anything that doesn't have hard factual evidence to it will be considered folklore.
The problem is too, they were farming family. I forget what their exact crop was, but they had like a shit ton of money. And they went broke during this haunting, but also, yeah, they never tried to profit off of anything. Like, if you look, there's certain cases, which we'll have an episode on each one. Haunting in Connecticut being a famous one, largely can pretty much be debunked because the family was like going through serious financial turmoil. The son did have some type of sickness, but I think they faked the son's cancer. There's a lot of
I don't
weird
think
stuff
I'm
with
following.
That one.
Which one are you talking about?
The Haunting
about?
Of Connecticut.
The Haunting of Connecticut? The
Haunting in Connecticut. You didn't know about that one? That's a big one, too.
Damn, I feel like a sham.
Damn. All right. Well, it was a famous Ed Lorraine Warren case. Movies made about it.
Okay.
Family purchases a house, Eddie. Discovers it's a funeral home. Their child has cancer. And then starts getting all this poltergeist activity. Made it a movie, made it a book, all this shit. However, upon further investigation, there's a lot of things that this family was doing that seemed very sketchy and could possibly debunk. Same thing with Amityville.
Mm.
That's a hard one for me because, you know, same shit. There's a lot of these famous stories. Often, I am a skeptic, but I also want all of this stuff to be true.
Yeah.
But upon further investigation, a lot of them have weird shit. But with this one, there really isn't a lot of weird shit.
Mm-mm.
Like, there's... The government got involved.
Yeah.
The government never gets involved. Like...
No, never.
And ghosts? What the fuck? They sent the president there. Who? Like, that's kind of unprecedented. Like, what, like, imagine if right now, you know, we started a, whatever, we had a haunting at our house, which we may or may not have.
We already have. We got but out like, of there, though.
That doesn't get out of local news. No. Even like the, what is it, the Conjuring 2 about the Enfield poltergeist, that was like, I guess that was national news for a day. But it was largely just in that neighborhood. Like, that became the new haunted house. Well, this doesn't get to the fucking high levels of government.
That's just it. We have so many real physical things happening on this realm right now. War, fucking destruction, politics. There's so much crap going on that it's really hard to focus on how to fix something that you can't feel, see or anything. You know, it's just people would rather pin it on, oh, you're fucking crazy, or you're just, or it's a child with an exceptional imagination, instead of it actually being a real threat. Because, like, what can anybody do?
Yeah. What's funny too, another similarity to Skinwalker. John apparently initially saw a dog on his property with the head of a rabbit, and then saw a bird that he described of being of extraordinary size. Yeah. Skinwalker Ranch, they had wolves that they said were like 7 feet tall. Mm-hmm. They said they had predator type activities. Like when they watched Predator, they said like the invisible thing moving through the woods, that's exactly what it was. So there's a lot of similarities between this one and Skinwalker. However, the one thing that's different would be that the Uinta Basin, where Skinwalker Ranch is currently, still has some of the, like, is one of the most hot UFO paranormal locations on the earth. It seems like this place hasn't, I mean, except for the cave, which people can go tour and whatever, but that whole area doesn't seem to be, like, riddled with UFO and paranormal activity, whereas the place in Utah still is. It still has, like, the highest cancer death rate in the fucking nation, and a bunch of weird still shit, surrounding that area. So. Yeah.
Well, and then also with the Bell Witch and the large creature with the rabbit head and the dog body. So, you know, the times slavery was around, they were a rich family. Mm-hmm. And they had a slave, I think his name was Dean, they said. Pretty sure that was his name. And, he was married to a woman who was a slave on the property next door. He was walking over to go and visit her, and there was that huge dog that came out. But this one, I don't think they said it had the head of a rabbit, but it was huge. And he took an axe and he chopped its head, like he hit it in the middle of its head, and it split in half. And then he saw it a couple days later, but this time it had two heads and it was massive. So, like, that split caused its head to just fucking become two. So, yeah, again.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's very bizarre. It's very bizarre. But, yeah, it's hard with stories like this because it's so long ago and there was nothing to document it other than just stories.
Journals and shit.
Yeah.
Right here it said, when Andrew Jackson came, he wanted to bring weapons and supplies, and they said, you know, Andrew Jackson and his posse, when their wagons got stuck randomly, like 10 miles outside the ranch or whatever,
so weird.
A metallic voice was heard in the distance saying, "All right, General, let the wagon move on. I will see you again tonight." And then they started moving. Mm-hmm. That's weird.
Yeah, like the whole
Andrew voice. Jackson still wasn't spooked, though. He's like, fuck it, all right.
No.
Like, he kept going.
The whole voice thing really just kind of, it's so bizarre because that right there is a new one, too.
Yeah.
Like, only in fucking these Hollywood Conjuring fucking movies do they actually have voices. In real life, no, you're not going to hear a voice that clear.
And you had, like,
say shit
different
to you.
Groups of people at different times all saying, like, as if it came over a loudspeaker. They said it filled the whole room. Like, I haven't heard anything else like that.
No.
That's weird.
Yeah, no, this story definitely stands alone in how intense it is. And so specific. It's crazy.
What are your theories on it?
What are my theories?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I definitely think that there's something there. And I think that this cave has... Well, what I'm interested in is how close is the cave to the house? Because I know it's on the same property, but they owned how many acres of land?
320 acres. It's quite big. Yeah,
exactly. That's an excessive amount of land.
Even with 320 acres, though, what's the radius on that?
Well, and they said that they would experience shit outside of the house, too. So just anywhere on this land.
Let me look that up.
Yeah. Because I'm like, something that is the craziest part about this story to me, for sure, is the fact that the native people who used to live there just picked up and left. I'm interested in what actually happened that pushed them over the edge to be like, all right, we got to get out of here. Because that's where their dead was buried. That's where their roots were. And then the hauntings, I'm pretty sure they didn't really start with this family until their son disturbed a grave. Remember that? They were digging out in the woods and he brought a jawbone back to his dad and was like, hey, look at this. Oh, he was like fucking around with these human remains.
Whoa. Okay. 300. This is fucking me up right here.
What?
320 acres is half of a square mile.
Really?
So that's like a lot, but not a lot. Like, yeah. One square mile is equal to 640 acres. Disneyland is 60 acres. Our sense of distance is fucked. So it could be no more than half a mile from the house. So pretty much right by the house.
Yeah.
Think of half a mile. That's fucking... You can run the fucking perimeter of this property in 15 minutes.
Yeah,
it's not bad. If you're not fat as shit.
Yeah, it's not bad.
All right.
Okay. Well, yeah.
That fact fucked me up.
Yeah, a little bit. But yeah, that's what's most interesting to me. What happened to the people who lived on this land before the Bell family moved in to cause them to want to leave? Like, so much history had to have been there.
Well, there was the allegations, right? Because that John was
molesting,
diddling one of the stepdaughters.
Betsy. That was the one who was abused by the spirit that much.
So.
Smacked around, like hair pulling, all that shit.
What if when I heard that aspect of these are allegations too.
Yeah.
We don't know. But
just theories.
Potentially if that child did have that happen to her, then she creates kind of this own entity to deal with it, kind of like in Hill House. Like she created a Mr. Smiley. She created this separate monster to deal with the fact that her stepfather was molesting her. Mm-hmm. And that energy kind of just radiated throughout the house.
And also, crap, what did they say about it? I'm pretty sure they said something about how they were really secretive about something. Do you remember that in the podcast? That the family was very hush-hush about a certain topic?
I don't.
Oh, crap, I can't remember. But, yeah, that's an interesting theory. If John was molesting Betsy because, one, she was, like I said.
Oh, the cat.
Cat?
They poisoned the cat. So right now I'm looking at theories on how it could be debunked. The fluid, the gross smelling fluid,
mm-hmm.
They did investigations on the elements that were like discovered. And which ones could cause a blue flame when with just like a small catalyst like impacting the ground. And lead and arsenic both will produce blue flames, apparently, if they're not subjected to that much force. And so they said they took lead out of the equation because apparently lead poisoning isn't that bad. It won't kill you instantly, but arsenic will in large doses. And they said that would explain the death of the cat. Because remember, they gave the cat, and the cat just dropped dead. Because mm-hmm. they were like, what the fuck is this stuff? Arsenic doesn't smell that fucking good. And so, I mean, fuck, it could have just been someone poisoned him with arsenic.
Well,
that's a
yeah.
classic one.
So if we're trying to debunk this, possible theories outside of, you know, I honestly do believe that this specific plot of land has a lot of energy going on with it, with this cave, everything from the past, you know, death leaves a scar and a mark on a certain area, wherever it happens, right? But realistically, with Betsy, a lot of the shit happened to her at night. And do you remember how she was supposed to get engaged when she was a little bit older? And apparently the spirit said, oh, you should not get engaged to this person because you'll have a miserable life or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then she kept dating him, and then her dad died. Right? That was when John was poisoned. So that's just really weird because we don't know anything about this guy. So what if the spirit is all just John? Like, what if at night, the slapping, all of the abuse that Betsy was getting was caused by John?
That's what I'm saying.
Molesting, exactly.
And then with him being poisoned, the witch wanted him to die a slow death. They kept telling him, I want you to die a slow death. Well,
maybe the mom found out and got pissed off.
Slaves. They had a bunch of slaves. Who makes the food? If they're splashing a little bit of arsenic in the food,
what about the vial?
Meal, then that could have been like the final one. I don't know. I'm just saying it'd be very easy for the slaves to get a hold of some arsenic mm-hmm. and be throwing little doses of it. Cause his illnesses were weird, right?
Yeah.
They got progressively worse, as time went on over like a decade.
Yeah.
And that's why I said, we want to kill you slowly. The fucking witch supposedly said that.
Well, and then it's just weird that like the witch had a problem with Betsy trying to find happiness with this man that she had known for a long time. Like, that's something that an abusive father would do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, no, you can't get married. And then maybe that was the final straw. And her mom, his wife, was like, no, fuck you. You've been molesting my kid. Now you're trying to make it so she can't have a future. Kills him.
Yeah.
You know, don't get me
wrong.
A lot
of weird shit.
Yeah. Like, I love me a ghost story. I really do. And this one's so interesting for so many different reasons. I'm just trying to think of, if I were to have to create some kind of theory that was factual and not, oh, it's the Bell Witch, you know, yeah. that would be my guess as to what happened with their family, at least. But again, it doesn't really cover everything that happened in the past or in the future, because shit still happens.
Yeah, I'm looking here, like every decade or every 5 to 10 years, someone apparently has like something weird still.
Well, and people live happen. There now, and they have a journal that's been passed down through the years from the Bell family to the next owners and the next ones, and it's all just with experiences that each of them have had. A big thing is glass breaking and shattering in places where nothing actually falls or shatters. I know that's a really common one. So yeah, people are living there now and they're still experiencing this shit. So again, I wholeheartedly believe that there's activity going on there, but it's just the whole origin of it is interesting.
Yeah.
Like, did they really think that a spirit went out and got a little bottle of arsenic and put it in his medicine cabinet and sprinkled some into his morning coffee?
The arsenic theory is that a person did it, not the witch.
No. I'm pretty sure they think that the witch did that because she said, I'm going to kill you slowly.
No. They identified it as arsenic to say that, like, the people did it. The witch, yeah, no, the theory was, like, the witch made this black fluid. It's what was the black fluid.
Yeah.
And they're going up, well, arsenic can produce a blue flame, and they went to the science behind it. But, no, they were saying if it was arsenic, then people did it.
When do you think they found out that it was arsenic? Does it say?
They theorized like 50 years later that it could have been arsenic. This wasn't anything that happened at the time. This was people trying to debunk it.
Okay, yeah.
Decades later.
Yeah, so yeah, at the time, that's what they believed.
that the witch, yeah.
Yeah, that the witch did
black goo and fucking killed
him. Like, come on. Seriously.
It's pretty wild. Yeah. Pretty wild. Like,
I love it.
It's, I'd like to learn more about the family's history prior to moving to Tennessee.
Like, where did they move from?
North Carolina. I do know that.
I'm pretty sure they had like 8 kids. There's a lot of them.
They had a lot of fucking kids. Let's see. There was theory that the Bell Witch was a disgruntled neighbor named Kate.
Yeah.
Hmm. Damn it, Kate.
And what was crazy was when they would communicate with the Bell Witch, they would like ask, oh, are you Kate? And she'd be like, yeah. And then they would just be walking around. They're like, hey, Kate, did you do this? She's like, hi, yes, I did. Like, she would respond to the name Kate. So she, whoever the spirit is, or multiple, whoever they are, it was smart. And it tried to put the blame on someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I don't think that's a very common thing for a spooky either.
Oh, here we go. The Bell Witch was, and still is, a great scapegoat. Every circumstance out of the regular order of things is attributed to the witch. It has not been long since a man claiming to be the witch was waylaid and murdered by 2 men who were cleared on the plea that the murdered man had bewitched them. Whoa. This was a journalist that reported at the time.
When was this?
That was in 1868. Apparently people started blaming, like, getting possessed by this thing on killing people. They started blaming it on the Bell Witch.
So whenever someone would near, kill near another
the
property, person,
like, oh, the Bell Witch did it.
God.
Damn, see? At the root of this, there's weird shit.
When did logic start with humanity?
I don't think it ever did.
Like, fuck. So concerning.
I don't think it ever did. I think before Abrahamic religion, we were more logical. I think way before that.
People are just so fear-driven. Anything spooky happens, they lose all sense of logic or common thought. It's just like, oh.
Can't punch a ghost.
No, it's a lot easier to place a blame on a fucking spirit after you just murdered somebody.
Yeah.
It's like pleading insanity.
I mean, I do think a ghost could get someone to do something bad for sure, but that ain't going to hold up nowhere.
No. No, it won't.
That ain't going to hold up nowhere.
Yes, I do think that that's possible. You know, possession, I believe, is a real thing. But I also think that in those times, when it was like fucking vampirism, mm-hmm. you know, people just lose it. People just like got so scared and wouldn't blame anything that they couldn't understand, like disease, on this vampirism or fucking possession.
Salem witch trials, wasn't everyone just tripping balls?
Sure fucking were.
They were just tripping ass on this fungus that
they were all
the whole
innocent.
Weed.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know that either.
I'm going to go ahead and assume that all these women were innocent.
We don't know that these freaky ladies weren't doing stuff.
Do you know where the theory of witches flying on brooms comes from? They were women who enjoyed having a tidy space.
Uh-huh.
And invented a broom to clean the dirt out of their house. And they would see these women with brooms. They'd be like, oh. And then they'd see them like out picking herbs and being one with nature. And they're like, oh.
So chicks that just wanted a clean space invented brooms.
She has a brain.
I don't think that's how brooms were invented.
Hmm. You know, let's look that up. When was the broom invented?
That sounds wrong. Witches invented brooms.
Let's see.
It's like saying douchebags invented Camaros. That just doesn't make sense.
Potentially. When was the broom?
Hold on. Take the show. I have to take a 2-minute break.
Oh, can we do that? No. Oh, damn it. Where are you going? Toilet. Oh, he's leaving me to go to the bathroom. Well, I had to do that too. Okay, let's see. The first. Let's see. Okay, cool. The history of brooms. It's funny, I didn't even look up anything about witches, but for some reason it decided to pop up in here. The first reference of witches flying on broomsticks was in 1453, but modern broom making did not start until about 1797. Well, that doesn't make any fucking sense, does it? A farmer in Massachusetts named Levi Dickinson had the idea to make his wife a broom as a gift to clean their house with. How thoughtful. Wow. Here you are. Fucking clean, you wench. Let's see. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me. Well, anyways, back then, I believe that if there was a, again, this is just going off of what I've picked up on. Am I correct in saying this? I'm not one to say. But realistically, it seems to me, going off of the fact that so many people were just afraid of everything, if there was a celestial event or a disease that was new, blamed it on a fucking witch. But I think that a lot of men would be just so afraid of a woman who was living on her own or creating, like, had a little garden. Any woman who didn't really need a man at the time was seen as a negative force or a witch. And then from there, they kind of just blamed all this shit. Okay, do you want to hear when the broom was made?
Yes.
Ian's returned. This doesn't make any sense to me, may I say. The first reference of witches flying on broomsticks was in 1453.
Okay.
But modern broom making did not start until about 1797.
Yeah, no, there's something wrong.
I thought so too. Doesn't make much sense.
No.
But it says a farmer in Massachusetts named Dickinson had the idea to make his wife a broom as a gift to clean their house with.
Yeah, that when you said women invented brooms, I was like, I don't think so.
I never said that woman invented brooms. I said that witches.
Okay. So what, I mean, how did the women clean the house before the broom was invented? They just get down there and
just
blow really hard?
His hands and knees blowing outside.
How did they get that shit done? That makes no fucking sense.
That's fucking ridiculous. Let's see.
Well.
Yeah, 1700s. Weird.
I think that's a good stopping point.
I know. I'm like, why did you even get up and go to the bathroom? You seriously couldn't wait a fucking minute?
It was painful.
Okay, well, I've been sitting here having to pee too for like the past 20 minutes.
Damn.
He's so inconsiderate.
I'm so inconsiderate. That's on record, folks.
Mm-hmm. You heard it here. He's rude.
Well. Sometimes. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
We're going to put out another episode tonight.
Yes. Okay. We did say yesterday that we were going to do one, potentially two yesterday.
We're doing one today.
We got, stop it. We got a little ahead of ourselves yesterday. We got a lot of shit going on, you know? But
yeah.
We are making you guys a priority in our lives from here on out.
Whoever you are.
Whoever you are, our beautiful friends. So continue listening. Continue hopping, and we look forward to hearing y'all next time.
See ya.
Peace.